finally back from Taco Bell?
Oh, that was like a month ago.
Oh, so you just not eating. Well, if
so
just not
I repeat, we repeat, finally back from Taco Bell?
If you're just not eating it, that's about XP time, I think.
Put it in the freezer for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the problem, the problem, 5-year-old frozen Taco Bell.
Yeah, the
well,
problem
Mexican
is
Mexican pizzas, right?
The problem is, do they have Mexican pizzas still?
I don't know.
I would have had to get those 5 years ago and, you know, hold them until now is the thing. You should have said something when we started doing the show originally, and then I could have.
Yeah, guys.
You know,
that, for that one.
That's a really good point. That's a very good point, too. If I go digging in my fridge, I could very possibly find some food that dates back to when we started the show.
Nice.
I mean, you never
my
know.
Went through and cleaned out her cupboard, and she threw away canned vegetables from 2007.
Well, you should have saved those. Those are, like, collector's items. They're, like, original movie merchandise.
Oh. First release beans.
What kind of beans?
They're probably alcoholic beans by now. They're probably fermented.
Cool. Surprised you let her throw those out.
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Hi.
Hey, Mickey.
4231.
Paladin.
Well, by the math, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Ken.
It's a hobo. Hobo. Hobo.
Oh.
No mo.
And Fort Max.
Doctor, Grandpa. He's a doctor, you know.
So, this week on Superhero Time... Hey, we didn't do a show last week. Wasn't that nice?
It was very nice, because there's nothing I wanted to talk about.
And this week, there's only one thing you kind of want to talk about.
No, there's one thing I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
It's these Mix and Morph toys and how awesome they are. Because let me tell you, as a non-paid spokesperson, go out and buy every one you see.
Damn!
All right, so what wacky things have you done with your Mix and Morphs?
Well, I posted photos of most of the wacky things I've done on Twitter, but they are the perfect fiddle-around-while-you-watch TV toy.
Nice.
Okay.
So that means I'll have something to do next time I come visit you.
Yes.
And we're just sitting around watching TV.
Yes.
Yes.
Of
course, I'll also have your trains to play with, too.
They're kind of irresistible. Even Ben and David can't stop messing with them.
But what do they do with them?
Well, the horrible abomination I posted of every single piece combined together, that was Ben's handiwork.
I'm not surprised. Because with a Ben around, like, you know something terrible is going to be done with whatever he can get his hands on.
Yeah, basically.
Like that time he broke the Falcon Zord without even trying.
Yeah.
That was still hilarious.
That's our man.
How much Mix and Morph have you bought?
Everything's for the stupid recolors I don't give a shit about.
That still sounds like a lot.
I'm not even sure how much is out right now.
It's it's three boxes and then one single.
Oh, that's not so much.
Because the Dino Charge box comes with a stupid clear Red Ranger, and I don't want that shit. I want a regular one, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, while we're on the subject, anybody else get anything?
I have a big box of arm chain stuff from Paladin.
Okay.
And I'm just thankful that arrived safe.
I hope you insured it.
Yes, yes, of course.
There was a kind of uncomfortable pause there, Paladin.
There's always kind of an uncomfortable
You can edit that
pause.
Out, right?
No.
It's going to make it longer.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
So, what's going on, guys?
Well, even with a week off, not a whole lot happened. But we did see a few new things.
Did we?
Well, there's Ninja's third quarter catalog images.
Oh, Lord.
So, someone here predicted that when they got an upgrade, Shurikenshin was going to sit in it.
And it does.
And it's awful.
I've missed this. Let me see.
The second image is just for the combined form.
Okay. Let's see here. the armor. Let's see here.
Oh, and somewhere in these scans is also Red's upgrade form.
It might be a team upgrade form, but based on the way they've been using Aka Ninja, I'm guessing it'll mostly be his.
No, it's all the boys can use it, but not the girls. Just one more reason to shit on Ninja.
No, what'll end up...
they'll use it once, like in Tokyo Jiro.
What'll end up happening is that the girls will try to use it. Like, it'll be compatible with their powers, but every time they activate it, Takaharu will run in and knock them out of the way and just absorb it himself.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Uh-huh. Also, he looks like a Ryukendo mixed with a Hibiki.
Hibikendo?
Hibikendo?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks cool, at least.
Yeah, the power-up armor does look nice. I'll give it that.
It'll be great when we get it in Power Rangers in 2 years.
And the mecha always looked better in the show, so I'm not
Or
really...
3 years, I guess.
Nah, well, I'm just thinking the toy just looks awful.
Oh, it does. But, you know. That's kind of par for the course, for my opinion.
Man, why do they have to waste Star Ninja on this series?
I still like it, but, you know.
It's like, you know, they got the most delicious slice of ham in between two slices of moldy bread. And it's rye bread at that.
I do like for the new Lion Sword that Takaharu becomes his own Otomonin and sits in the lion's mouth.
So what do we have to do to make that lion bite down?
Also, T-Rex accessory Zord, which also looks bad.
Which is a remold of the elephant.
Oh, well, no wonder.
Precisely.
But will the T-Rex come in riding on a giant ball of dung also?
No, hey, but it is dragging its tail.
Oh. Well, at least there's an upside.
And the dinosaur is their movie exclusive add-on, and their movie is premiering on August 8th, apparently.
As movies tend to do now. But that's okay, it just means we only have like 2.5 months before Rider trademarks.
A couple months before
That's making me anxious.
Tokyo Returns comes out in a couple months at least.
Yes, we did get a full-length trailer for Tokyo Returns this week, but since we said last time to avoid spoilers, I'm not going to link to that if nobody wants.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. But it looks cool.
That's it's good. Out there if you want to find it, and all I'll say is it looks like an episode of Tokyuger.
It does.
That's good.
Yes.
All right.
So I think it looks
and
like it's going to be
Toei is finally releasing a second back catalog Sentai on Blu-ray, and it's Deca Ranger.
There are worse choices.
There are worse, considering that the only source video we have is complete trash.
No, the DVDs are good.
Well, I'm sorry. The only people who have subbed it looks like complete trash.
Yeah, but that wouldn't matter if they were using the Blu-rays or not.
It wouldn't. You're right.
Yeah.
Can somebody resub Ducky Ranger now?
No. No.
But Overtime did a few episodes, and then...
Overtime's done a few episodes of every series, haven't they?
It feels like it at this point.
I'll be happy if they just finish Time Ranger at some point.
In the year 3000.
I expect them to announce they're going to start subbing double. Because they've probably forgotten they've already done it.
Well, they had been working with someone to do updated scripts for the Blu-ray releases. I think that stalled out, though.
Somebody just take the scripts they have and slap them on there. Christ. It's fine. Don't be picky. Can't you do that yourself? Yes, I could, but I'm lazy as fuck. I'm sorry.
Well, I can't do it myself because I'm on a Mac.
Yeah.
I need someone to do it for me.
You're on a Mac and you won't let me put the software on your Mac to actually do what needs to be done.
I'm sorry. Macs don't let XVs run software on them.
That does sound very dangerous, actually.
Look, how bad could it be if I put a piece of 5-year-old software from my freezer on your computer? What's the worst that could happen?
Oh, baby Jesus.
Remember, keep your old software in the freezer. It lasts longer that way.
Well, where do you think I keep my floppy disk that I can't use anywhere on anything?
In your pants.
Besides those!
High five.
Yeah. I mean, you really opened yourself up for that one, Ken. I'm surprised Fort Max wasn't there with us. Meanwhile, Paladin would have just given a real answer and, you know, been completely unfunny. Hey, Paladin, what else is in the news?
Tsuburaya's next creation, Ultraman X.
Will it have a budget?
Well, I leave out the Tsuburaya part.
Well, wasn't the later parts of Ginga that, you know, nobody wanted to sub actually better in terms of production than the part
were
that they? Got subbed?
I have no idea.
That's
because
nobody
I didn't
subbed
see
them.
It because nobody subbed it.
No, I think Overtime did finish it. It's just well after the fact and beyond the point that anybody cared. I'm pretty sure they did. Let me check. I want to say they did.
I thought they only finished out the first season and then kind of swore off the rest of it.
So does Ultraman X come after Ultraman Wing?
But Ultraman Turn A is just kind of confusing. Especially when X shows back up, but he's called Turn X now, and don't get me started on Ultraman Seed. Ultraman Seed.
new Ultraman Throne, that includes Ultraman, yeah. February.
Ken hasn't been paying attention to any of this either.
Nope, not a bit. I told you I was looking for it.
Nobody cares anymore, Ken. It's
See,
Ultraman.
That's the point!
Oh, yeah.
That's Ultraman. The point!
Yeah.
They took so long that nobody cared.
Right.
That's my exact point.
And so did you.
I'm just keeping in spirit of it.
Sure. Okay, how about some news somebody cares about, Paladin?
I think we've already stretched that definition too much. There's not a lot left, really.
Okay, so how about some news that nobody cares about?
Hey, you know, Star Ninja's Mecha Cockpit? Completely wood-paneled.
Oh my god!
Fantastic.
Yeah. Star Ninja, please save the show.
I still like the show, so I should be fine.
Yes.
You also like this show, so you're definitely not fine.
Exactly.
Even if Star Ninja is great and he turns the writing around, he's not going to be able to fix the fact that nobody can act in this show.
Ah, no, he can. He can, though, because what you're failing to take into account is he can completely just overpower every scene he's in.
I don't think they're any worse than typical Sentai actors.
Oh, they are.
No.
They are.
No, they are. They are.
Let me put it... Look, Takaharu can't even do a knockoff of Ford's catchphrase right.
Right.
Uchu Kita. It's about the emotion he conveys from it.
Uh-huh.
But even if Takahara, I don't think the rest are that bad.
They're not good. They're not as stunningly awful as Takaharu. But the fact that Grandpa and Ninja Dad are completely unlikable,
Dad.
Is completely useless.
At least White being useless masks that she doesn't act very well.
Yeah.
Because the show's not really asking her to do much, and she's delivering on that.
On the other hand, has the show given her much to do?
The show hasn't given anyone that's not Takaharu much to do, so...
So, you know.
But how they conduct themselves in their scenes doesn't really sell their characters very well.
It's pretty much it. You mostly get a lot of side eye from Pink, and that's it.
Pink is the only one that comes close to acting well. Blue is a clearly defined character, but he doesn't play them... He doesn't play him asshole-ish enough to be a likable asshole, or likable enough to be likable. He's somewhere in the middle in this gray area where he's kind of half-trying.
I think that's the character, though, to be honest with you.
I think that's the actor not giving a shit. He is phoning it in.
Yeah, say what you will about Kyoryuger and Daigo taking over everything, but at least he had enough charisma to act like the center of the universe in that show.
I think Ken might dispute that with you, though.
I don't think charisma is the right word.
Yeah, he put energy into the role, and he acted like he believed it.
He wanted to be there.
I don't think some of the other actors have been given the opportunity enough to be able to call them on that too much terribly. And like that, I do think that Yakumo's character is kind of phoning in, as we even saw in the team-up episode we'll talk about in a little bit.
Wait, which team-up episode are you talking about?
the
not that again.
Cocker Ranger and Hurricane Ranger.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought for a second we were going to cover the fucking Drive crossover too, and I was going to just check right out.
No, you missed that. You missed that one.
Yes, what a remarkable coincidence that was. What were we talking about before?
I have no idea.
Oh yeah, wood.
Wood.
It's the wood that makes it good. At least according to Kenny Rogers.
Okay.
That's a 90s fast food reference for you.
To what?
Kenny Rogers Roasters. It was a fast food chicken chain, and their slogan was, "It's the wood that makes it good."
I don't think we ever had those where I lived.
Okay. Well, they were around for all of 6 months, so that's not terribly surprising.
Oh, okay. I'd like some chicken.
You feel like chicken tonight?
The only thing I had for dinner tonight was, like, old leftover hamburgers.
How old?
5 years.
Not old enough.
Were they microwaved?
To reheat them, yes. They weren't cooked in a microwave originally, no. They were grilled and then glazed in fat.
Oh, like a Krispy Kreme. God, I could go for a Krispy Kreme right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we could you know, technically continue the podcast on phones. We could just all go to Krispy Kreme right now. Separately.
Well, it would take me about an hour to get to the closest Krispy Kreme.
And then by the time you get back, the show will be over.
You know,
I'm not seeing a problem.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding the flaw in this the more I think about it.
Just leave somebody recording it, you know. The rest of us can just spread out and keep talking.
Right. We'll do the episode of Superhero Time completely in our cars.
Each one driving the Krispy Kreme.
Uh-huh.
It took me about 45 minutes to get to mine.
Although that probably leaves Paladin out. He probably doesn't have a Krispy Kreme because, you know, they're afraid
I'm
to go to Detroit.
I'm checking right now. It looks like there's one about 3 hours away.
It's worth the drive. It is worth the drive.
Not really.
If you arrive when the hot donut light sign is on.
Yeah, you gotta time it right.
Hmm.
I have one 15 minutes away, and Krispy Kreme isn't worth it.
I think you're doing it wrong, Fort Max.
Or they're doing it wrong.
No, because like every Krispy Kreme I've gone to has been just fine, so I think the problem is with Fort Max in this case.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is it spelled with K's or C's? Because, I mean, if it's a knockoff, that might be the problem.
Is there an umlaut in there?
Krispy Kreme.
All right, I was wrong. There's one only 16 miles away.
Oh.
And it says the hot light is on.
Oh,
they have an
online what?
Notification for that? That's amazing.
Yes.
Holy shit.
All right, so now we just need to look up every Krispy Kreme in Michigan and find out once a 60-mile radius around from it can pinpoint where Paladin's at.
There's only two.
Oh, that makes it even easier.
Besides, Fort Max.
Yes.
Do you have the box Paladin sent you handy?
Yeah.
Does it have a return address on it?
Yes, it does.
So we know where Paladin is pretty specifically.
No, you don't.
Is it going to be
just
like
a middleman?
Yeah, is it going to be like when Bach Cobb mailed me that stuff a few years ago and put like a completely fake address on it?
Oh my god, even the map just shows hot light on or off. Technology is amazing!
You know what the best part of this whole thing is right now?
What?
Tomorrow, when people are listening to this, we are going to make so many people want donuts. At least five. At least five people are going to be enormously craving donuts tomorrow.
I want donuts.
See, Haruto, this is how you're supposed to do it.
If you want donuts, tweet us at Twitter. Let us know that we screwed your day over.
Tweet us at Twitter.
Just tweet at Twitter.
Yeah.
What the hell?
At Twitter.com.
Yeah, they'll forward it where they need to go.
Of course.
Just tweet to the Twitter switchboard.
It's a party line. You'll get through.
Do we have any more news?
We may have a director for the new Power Rangers reboot movie, so no.
Oh, Lord. Tell me.
Is it Michael Bay?
No.
Wish.
Aww.
I wish it was Michael
it's
Bay.
Nobody I've ever heard of.
Oh. I wish I would pay money for Michael Bay doing Power Rangers.
What's the name so I can look him up on IMDb?
Dean Israelite.
Don't what? You use it to evolve Eevee? Alright, what has he done here?
There's one 9 miles from me.
An Israelite?
Oh, this is weird.
Oh, Krispy Kreme.
Oh.
But he's done nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, this
you
is
know,
good.
I,
very,
know, I
very
he...
cheap.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my guess.
See, the thing is, they would never be able to get Michael Bay because, I mean, dude makes billions of dollars a movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably a little pricey.
Oh, probably
right,
so.
His last movie is sitting around 6.3 out of 10.
Oh, good.
Let's see. That looks like he's foreign. 6 out
what
of 10.
What was your first clue?
The Jugend Cops.
Wow!
1.8 out of 10.
Oh, man. This is going to be great. This might be better than Michael Bay doing it.
Of course, now granted, though, on that last one, though, he was only a segment director for a TV series, so he didn't actually direct the whole show.
Oh, a TV series. Awesome.
Yeah, this is...
This is going to be a...
Oh, he worked on Battle Los Angeles.
Oh!
He was only assistant, but he worked on it.
And that's the only thing on his resume that I recognize.
That's a sign. That's a sign that this is going to be a freaking disaster, as if we didn't already know.
Oh, how fun.
Who's
opening
Donuts?
Battle Los Angeles page?
Wait,
it says, people who liked this also liked Battleship and Cowboys vs. Aliens. And Wrath of the Titans.
Now, who is opening a package and that better be Donuts?
Fort Mac, stop playing with your toys.
Aw.
You're not supposed to respond to that.
You do the perfect yip-yip noise.
Fort Max makes the perfect disappointed child noise, too.
Do it, Fort Max. Sound exactly like Paladin. Sound disappointed. Sounds more inquisitive.
Yeah.
Not angry enough.
It's bad that he says that.
if anybody would be aware, it would be him.
I suppose so.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
I think we're looking up at the bottom of the barrel for news right now.
Oh, well, maybe we should move on then.
Unfortunately, I think we have to.
All right, well, let's get it over with. What episode of Ninja are we starting with?
6?
Is that the one with the clarinet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Right, well, Ken, get to it.
I guess.
Well, I didn't even watch the episode.
Yeah, though at a certain point, if I'm the only one that cares about the show, regardless.
No, I'm still watching.
Are you just holding out till Star Ninja?
Basically,
I'm just
yes.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
I've seen
so,
worse after all.
We actually opened with the opening.
Yeah, that was weird.
A little weird.
I like the opening theme.
It gave me bad memories of Drive.
Because Drive always opens with the opening, right?
Well, it did after the like third or fourth episode.
Right. Okay, so we can probably pop through this one fairly quickly. Anyway, we start with a exam, ninja exam, because that's how you ninja.
Because that's how you ninja.
Yes. So you know everybody goes through their thing and is mostly successful here and there until you know Takaharu both. Blows up the monster and himself.
Okay.
Meanwhile,
over?
Yes, XV? You seem like you're holding something back.
That's the end of the show, right? If he blew himself up.
Well, he's still alive.
If only. Oh.
Damn.
Anyway, meanwhile, Gabi is bitching out QAmon about, you know, stealing his thunder 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks
yes,
ago.
Yes, he finally decided Takaharu wasn't coming back.
I want to thank for the entire drive crossover. He was just sitting there.
That is one thing that it needed. Just that crossover needed. Just like ending
at the very end.
Where is that guy? Still sitting there.
So anyway, everybody gets their test scores, and Kasumi.
Oh, test scores! I thought you said testicles. I thought we were back on that.
Wow, is this something you want to tell us?
No. I think we already had enough conversation about that.
Can we talk about testicles some more? I like them.
Anyhow.
Cadbury cream testicles.
Kasumi's headed to class, Yakumo right behind her. And
he's disappointed about that.
So Nagi and Fuka are about, you know, parallel. And Takaharu failed completely and utterly. It got incomplete.
So he has to take the test over and over again until he passes.
Yes, because he's powerful, but that's really about it. Which is kind of what I've been saying. So anyway, meanwhile, Gabi uses a healing shuriken that the minions find to turn a clarinet into a tengu.
Okay.
Because, sure. So the frogs go off, and then the ninjas, minus Takaharu, go off to face it. Only for that to end very poorly as Gabi shows up.
And kicks everyone's ass. Without breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, kicks their ass is kind of an overstatement here anyway. He basically just walks up and they all fall down on the ground.
Well, he throws an attack and then, you know, knocks them down. And then Fuka gets captured.
I think he just sneezed, really. Like, we're ascribing an amount of effort to this that I don't really think happened.
So, yeah, they all go off to look for Fuka. And so does Uncle Dad, or at least he tries to, but Grandpa stops him.
After having this lovely conversation with him about how he has absolutely no talent and will always be terrible.
Yeah, it's just
well,
like...
Well, you can't fault him for being honest.
Honestly, you can cut... Can I tell why Takahara turned out so terribly? If this is his family? But yeah, Fuka is being tormented by clarinets. And
I understand the feeling.
And do you know... Okay, does XP have a problem with clarinets that we don't know? Is it one time at band camp?
I never had band camp. I'm not good at music.
Oh, okay. You seem to have something against clarinets in particular.
No.
They're no bassoon.
I actually play the clarinet. Anyway, moving on.
We can tell.
No wonder you're so defensive clarinet. About it.
Anyway, as Takahara is running off, Granddad stops him. You know, gives him a dressing down. QAmon shows up. And Grandpa and her have a little, you know, heart to heart, by which he basically tells Takaharu, "Yeah, you can't deal with this."
Again, brutal honesty.
Yeah,
but Takaharu can do anything.
Actually, he kind of spends this episode getting knocked around a little bit, so both mentally and by just QAmon just kind of throwing away with a breeze. But Grandpa is actually able to distract her handily by mostly just kind of standing around and teleporting all over the place.
Well, he's old. There's not much else he can actually do.
Well, he can probably die.
Not yet. It's only episode 6.
Well, he's old, though.
Maybe Takahara's actor will die before I finish filming the series.
Nice.
I'm not wishing that, but, you know, maybe so he just broke his legs.
Anyhow, Takahara arrives, and because he's there,
they can just send him up with some motorcycle stunts, right?
Sure.
And then he and Gabi go into a dark room and have some private time together.
Did you skip over the stuff about the last shuriken or the end shuriken or whatever?
Oh yeah, basically they need the sealing Mojikara from Shinkenger.
Which so I'm sure is buried somewhere in Takaharu, which is why he's so strong and stupid.
Well, in fairness, Shinkenger pulled that a bit differently, but this is so far not Shinkenger. Anyhow!
Just wait for it.
Now, this isn't a Kobayashi series, so we're not going to probably not going to have two Red Rangers.
This is true.
No.
Are you kidding? Just wait till the next episode.
No, well, I just think it's going to turn out to be in the end that the reason he's so strong is because the End Shuriken has been put in him.
That reminds me, Tokyo didn't have two Red Rangers.
Huh. No.
Yeah, it did.
How?
It did five.
Oh, crap, it did! Touché!
But not at the same time.
No, but I think that still counts.
Oh, orange is a shade of red, isn't it?
Because technically, Kaoru and Takeru never transformed at the same time, either.
Did they not?
They never did, not once.
Okay, I can't remember that specifically.
They would literally not even have them transformed at the same time, like, parallel, even if they weren't together.
Okay,
so, yeah,
then.
I guess that counts. Never mind. Thank you, Formax. I've been corrected.
That's what Formax is here for.
He was prepared for that, too. Shit.
I am making a very pleased face right now.
I bet you are.
Ew.
You can't edit.
That's
I like Paladin's response the best.
Okay, so anyway, other ninjas show up. They fight the Tengu while Takaharu fights Gabi.
And loses. Hooray.
Yes, he does. Which is satisfying, actually. But you know, so the other Rangers are fighting the Tengu. Tengu. The Tengu doesn't really matter here, to be honest.
And it at some point or another, Fuka gets let out.
Yeah, but well, I said that earlier, but.
You act like I'm paying attention.
Yeah, that's the thing. so the Tengu goes down pretty handily without much ceremony. And Takaharu gets spat out of the subdimension. So they all try to fight Gabi.
And they all lose.
Yes, they do! basically, it just gets cut off until Kyuemon shows up and is like, okay, yeah, I'm just gonna make the Tengu big bye. Now she is literally cock-blocking him.
Yeah, we can't have you fighting them right now because you're going to win, and this series is going to be over when that happens.
Damn it, Kyuemon.
So anyway, Shurikenjin, Elephant Time, yada yada yada, mecha battle,
fight.
It's a mecha battle.
It's like I know it's kind of noses, but I choose to more interpret it as like a dick slap off.
All of those.
So we get back home, and Uncle Dad admits he's terrible and awful and of no use to anybody.
Well, that's an important lesson for the kids to learn.
And they make him feel better by giving him a placebo of taking the test again. Which basically is how I read that scene, honestly.
Make him feel useful by pretending the test matters.
But that's okay, because something else is overlooking them, which is Ninja Red and Hurricane Red. Because the next episode aired on the 40th anniversary of Super Sentai.
No,
or would have.
Yeah.
Or would have.
It aired a week late.
Oh, it did, didn't it? They didn't change the...
That's right.
Toei.
TV Asahi, I mean...
Well, TV Asahi...
It's their fault more than anything.
It is, but you think that 2 months off, they could have, adjusted something.
Yeah, they could have just shifted the drive crossover down a couple weeks.
Or just kind of, they honestly
canceled
could have.
It, nothing of value would be lost.
Or they could have changed a couple.
Oh, yep. Value would have been lost.
Takaharu making Shinosuke's life a living hell was worthwhile, I think.
I guess.
For a few minutes.
He These shows are...
I guess.
And it gave us Red Racer chewing scenery.
It did.
On the other hand, we can just go back and watch Car Ranger and enjoy it more.
But he isn't wearing a white wig in that, so...
Well, we don't know. We haven't seen all the episodes of Car Ranger yet.
Car Ranger doesn't give me Shinosuke suffering, which I enjoyed, so...
Car Ranger doesn't need to add Shinosuke suffering to make it enjoyable, though.
Yes, but also, you know, had Kamen Rider 3 beating the crap out of Mach.
Which, again, is something you don't need to have happen in Car Ranger to be able to enjoy Car Ranger.
But I could have it happen here and still have Car Ranger on the side. I could have my cake and eat it too, damn it.
That's too much cake.
No, look, you're getting Cadbury cream testicles and you're going to like it. Anyway, Paladin, talk about ninjas.
Okay, what? Just a moment.
More ninjas that you can shake a stick at.
More ninjas than you care about.
You can't wait. You cannot wait to get to the Gaara section, can you?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't completely losing interest in Ninja.
Well, hopefully it starts too well. Or if I'm the only one that's still watching it, I guess, then I don't know, we'll figure something
out. If you're the only one who's still watching it in, you know, a couple months' time, you're going to be the JD for this year.
Except for the shows that only JD was watching, we still didn't cover.
Right. I don't see
that
what you think is going.
We had alternatives then, didn't we?
That means that I don't have to cover it.
There's always Bioman and Ryukendo.
Well, I'm hoping Mega Non finishes O-Ranger pretty quick and we can just start doing Dynaman weekly. Or however often it comes out.
With the villains and their tail-based hierarchy.
Because, we've done a couple episodes of the dub of Dynaman, but we've basically not paid any attention to original Dynaman because it wasn't available.
We did that one episode.
Yeah, the one episode. We watched the dub first episode and the original first episode.
It's true, it happened. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we learned the villains had their entire structure based on how many tails they had.
Right.
It's reasonable.
Right. Okay, so episode 7 starts with the ninjas beating each other up, and Fuka doesn't want to say thank you to Takaharu for saving her last week.
And Uncle Dad nearly gets killed.
Yeah, Yakumo nearly, you know, lops his head off.
And nothing of value was lost.
Nothing. Can't argue.
So after that, Uncle Dad decides to introduce some new teachers for them. And it's Ninja Red and Hurricane Red.
Yay! Sasuke and Yosuke.
I also like that anytime they use classic music in this, it's all Kaku Ranger.
Oh, there was some Hurricane Ranger.
There's some Hurricane Ranger.
No, there wasn't. Shut up.
Yes, there was.
Shut up.
So, they immediately start ganging up on Takaharu, which I definitely approve of, and tell him the shinobis who don't hide thing is ridiculous.
Yeah. I was like, it's like, okay, well, you know, this is what you need to be a ninja. They're like, yes, but you have to be stealthy and act from the shadows.
And you've got to, to be fair, both Hurricane Red and Ninja Red are cheating because they're just spouting off the thing that they said at the end of the roll call.
Oh, they are. They are.
Which is their point.
And, you know, they still pilot a giant robots in the middle of a city. So
nobody noticed that, though, because they were ninjas.
Except or possibly because... the people who were on the roller coaster.
You know... they didn't notice it either.
They were dead.
You know what the sad part is? I could buy that.
That nobody noticed the giant robot battles because ninjas?
Yeah.
It's weird seeing how much Ninja Red has aged. I mean, granted, it has been a long time, but...
He was in Gosager and Gokaiger.
Was he?
Yeah.
When was he in Gokaiger?
He was Mega Defender.
The Gengar Man episode.
Played both of those guys.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Well, he didn't originally play Black Knight, right? He just was filling in Gokaiger for the actor.
No.
Did he play Black Knight?
Yes, he did. He played Hyuga.
Oh, crap. I didn't even realize.
He was Hyuga from episode one.
Huh.
Well, shit,
you
the
know, I never recognized him watching Gingaman.
Maybe that's because Gingaman was just boring you to sleep.
I love Gingaman.
Really? I thought you didn't like it.
No, I love Gingaman. O-Ranger was kind of boring.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about at any given time, so just kind of ignore whatever I say.
It was probably because Hyuga never wore a tie-dye shirt and denim skirt. That's probably why I didn't put it together.
So, the new ninja senseis take them outside to teach some new techniques, including the doppelganger technique, and the sky stride, and the dead body technique.
See, the sky stride is what I was talking about, where Yakumo seems like he's only half trying. That seems like his character.
Well, the having the character half trying is one thing. Having the actor half trying to be a convincing actor is what I'm talking about, though.
Well, I mean, that's just how he comes across. And so I think that, I don't know, that just feels intentional in the way he's acting.
Well, and Blue's always been about, like, his whole goal is to fuse magic and ninjutsu into a new thing.
Which he tries in this episode, but gets called on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, on the bright side, you get to have Sasuke beating on Takaharu.
Because none of the ninjas can master the new advanced ninpo techniques, and Takaharu gets his head smashed in with a sword.
Cool.
And he also gets kicked in the face. I figured you'd enjoy that.
Sasuke's sword, which is pretty much the realest sword outside of Sun Vulcan.
And also, Cocker Ranger sound effects.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Batman 60s splash effects.
Mm-hmm. It was excellent.
So, the ninjas get their progress report cards after the testing, and the highest rankers are Yakumo and Kasumi, who both get 3 out of 5.
Right. Then,
but on the other hand, Takaharu is just incredibly proud that he's become number one.
I laughed. I thought it was legitimately funny, but, you know.
When you laugh at Takaharu, doesn't it feel like you're laughing at, like, a retarded child, though? Don't you feel bad about it?
No, I don't feel bad.
Don't you feel
about
guilty?
It.
Like,
No, I don't. I don't. I don't at all.
I guess you're just a bad person, then.
I guess I am.
I mean, he asked to be on this show.
See?
Like, you know, even Christina asked to be on this week originally, but then she, you know, had the sense to back out at the last minute. Ken, Christina is a smarter, better person than you.
Hey.
Yeah, probably.
Ninja mostly needs to become about everyone shitting on Takaharu.
Are you sure it's not?
It needs more of it.
I mean, including the plot.
Well, yeah. The problem is the shit keeps rolling off of him. Mm-hmm. He's Teflon.
So
he has seed quality plot armor.
I wouldn't go that far.
Give it time.
I wouldn't go that far because in seed, nobody actually shits on Kira. He's just always right automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nobody in the show that's just, you know, actively shitting on, except Sai. But Sai's horrible and terrible, and why would you care if he shits on him anyway?
Because the show itself doesn't even care about him.
No, the show doesn't care about Sai at all.
Right. That's why the show takes his girlfriend away and gives her to someone else.
Kira. And then he just didn't want her.
Yeah.
Just an insult to injury.
Yeah. So, like, in Seed, Sai is the Fuka.
Nah, see, the thing is, I actually like Fuka.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, no analogy is perfect.
So we got to the part of the episode where they try to lynch Taka.
I was just getting to that. So elsewhere, there's a new ceiling shuriken that fuses with a watch, so we knew they'd get to that eventually.
It's a yokai watch.
Humor.
But Sasuke and Yosuke have decided that Takaharu is a danger to himself and others, so they tie him up and hang him at the dojo.
Pretty much word for word, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I'm just really disappointed that it doesn't go for the neck.
God.
Now, if he was a real ninja, he would have turned into a saw to get himself down.
Yeah. Maybe that was the lesson he was supposed to learn.
The Kaku Ranger movie is amazing.
Kaku Ranger is, like, one of the very best Sentai ever. Like, there should have been a crossover of Kaku Man and Bioman. Or Kaku Ranger and Bioman. Yeah. Testicles.
Sure. Draw about that, man.
Apparently, I don't know.
What about Kaku Ranger, Bioman, and Car Ranger?
But then the world would just end. Because there'd be nowhere to go after that.
Would Car Ranger become Car Man then?
Yes. Turbo Teen.
If they get too hot, they change into their mecha. You know what? Shurikenger, or Ninninja, yes. Yes, okay. Ninninja.
Wasn't Shurikenger...
Shurikenger is the Green Ranger in Hurricane.
Right, yes. But Ninninja, it's just an appealing show about ninjas as Naruto.
Nah.
I think it's a little better than that, to be honest.
I think it's a lot better than that. For one thing, it's cohesive.
No, you know what Ninninja is? It's the Wizard of Sentai.
Nah. Because I actually like
it. I don't hate it that much yet.
No.
I don't know. It's approaching the drive of Sentai for me.
Okay, I can accept that also.
And they're both airing at the same time.
I don't know if Toei is trying to kill Toku.
If it was the drive of Sentai, you'd have already quit.
The only reason I haven't is because of Star Ninja.
Right. I mean, there is no sign of a Star Ninja type character appearing in Drive at any point.
In fact, the only reason I watched this episode was because of the crossover old ninjas.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I cared about this episode.
Well, less old ninjas, more Ninja Red.
Yeah.
He's an old ninja.
Because, like, to be fair, Hurricane Red does, like, jack shit this episode. This is absolutely...
I believe that is the best way to approach it.
This is absolutely Sasuke's episode.
It is.
Yeah, yes, but Ninja is so bad, it makes Hurricane Red interesting. It's like, oh,
yeah,
Hurricane Red is going to be in this episode. Cool.
Yosuke is basically like his yes man through this entire episode.
Well, it makes sense, though, because... Sasuke is his senior, and...
Yeah. Senpai.
Yeah. It would be disrespectful for him to try to take the lead over him.
It would.
Yeah.
See, you know, unlike Daigo with the Dino Rangers. Or...
Right.
Here, Takahara just acts like an idiot. This is a little bit different, but we'll get to that.
Anyway.
With this show, we always get to that.
By this point, Kuemon has found the Yokai Watch and decides to send him 10 years back to the past to find the end shuriken.
I mean, it is Yokai Watch. I mean, it's an orange cat.
Yeah. That turned, yeah.
Does this air at the same time?
Well, you know, Ninja was actually beating Yokai Watch in sales initially.
Yeah.
And then Star Saber came and kicked everybody's ass, but that's an entirely different story.
Well, yeah, but even that
Star
week...
Star Saber's in Yokai Watch?
Even that week, the Ninja stuff still was outselling the Yokai Watch stuff. Star Saber just took the top slot away from both of them.
So yeah, Ninja's actually doing decently in that area.
Or Japan's just getting bored with Yokai Watch.
Could be.
Well, then they have the Girls Watch coming out to kill Precure toy sales.
Well, and that's the thing, too, because, like, Goblin's posted a scan of that, and it's got an SD card slot, and I can't figure out why.
For your secret diary.
Oh, okay. No, that actually makes sense if there's, like, a voice recorder in it. Otherwise known as what they should have done with the frog pod. Anyway.
So, with the Yokai Watch opening a door, Takaharu comes running up and goes through with him, having chewed through the ropes holding him back. And at that point, Sasuke and Yosuke tell everyone, oh, he's in the past and he dies there.
Oh.
Oh, good.
You know, unfortunately, this isn't like when he got arrested a couple weeks ago and everybody just went home and had tea and didn't really care.
So, one thing, though, are the people that he's beating through in Shadow, are a couple of those supposed to be Nanami and whatever the yellow's name is in Hurricanger?
Quite possibly. So yes, they tell the story of when they first met up 10 years previously and saw Takaharu die.
Well.
But then when the Yokai Watch comes back through, Takaharu revealed that he actually did master the duplication technique that they were trying to learn earlier.
Ah, time paradox.
God damn it.
So.
Motherfucker.
So. I hate the bootstrap paradox. It's that. It's the thing of. Oh, I hate time travel so much. You self-fulfilling prophecy. You taught the thing that he would have died without, but then he knows it, so he didn't die. So that means that he never died, or did he die? And then,
don't think about that. Think about this thing that he could
they had already taught it to him before. Because remember, when he died, he had the report card with him.
And the only reason they taught it to him is because they thought he died.
But I hate time paradoxes.
This wasn't a paradox.
Is it not? No, it's not a paradox. So it's
my brain still hurts.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
Which actually, I think, makes a predestination paradox technically.
Crap.
But anyway, when he had always died with the report card because they had the burnt up report card that they had recovered from his remains.
Right, so he still died, but then he didn't die
because that wasn't him to be right. ever.
Right,
which means that when he did the duplication on himself, he duplicated his report card too. That's a fairly comprehensive duplication technique.
Well, he was so proud of that report card.
Yeah, he was number one.
He was number one. Oh, God, I hate time travel.
I hate Takaharu.
I like this episode. I just hate time travel.
Like, the only thing I ever wanted out of this episode when I knew it was happening was for Sasuke to just walk up and punch Takaharu in the face, and I never got that.
Well, he hit him in the head with a sword.
It's not the same thing. Like, they need to be untransformed, no words, just Sasuke walk up and punch him in the face for being Takaharu.
That seems more like more of a Tsuruhime thing.
It does.
Why couldn't she have been in this episode, too?
Because Red Rangers?
Yeah. So anyway, the seven ninjas team up to defeat Yoko.
She could have taught Kasumi how to be useful.
Yeah, but see, Kasumi has the best line in this episode here. It's like, well, if you died, they'd kick you out anyway.
She is still my favorite ninja.
Yeah, she is. She's probably right.
And then there's a decent team-up fight until Takaharu kill-steals the Yokai Watch.
I don't think it's so much kill-steals, because it was already dead.
Or close to it.
It was dying. It was about to blow up.
He's kind of paying him back, because, like, they pushed him aside and started attacking without him.
That was great, though. I love that
during the transformation, we got a new... A redone Ninja Red transformation, complete with the Kaku Ranger roll call footage. Well, roll call music.
I like the fact that Sasuke and Yosuke still like don't give him any respect. They just like crane his head around, like look ahead, and then just bat him aside.
Also, one thing I want to point out here is it is Takaiwa in the Ninja Red suit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Cool. That's good.
I'm sure he was thrilled to do some interesting fight work instead of just being on drive that day.
There is some interesting fight work in the fight too, I think. So I liked it.
Then they have to fight one of those giant bone things in the Megazord using two shurikens that will never appear again, probably.
Right.
And we get hurry up form and giant text sound effect.
Yes.
And sadly, we do not get any Gashadokuro music for them fighting the Gashadokuro.
Oh, well.
And then at the very end, Grandfather and Aka Ranger show up to point out how stupid this Super Sentai is.
It basically paraphrases, like, you guys were assholes too once.
They were, yeah.
Yeah. Like, your response is just, they were, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, Sasuke's the one who's bright idea for the X-ray telescope Nimpo was to sneak a peek at Tsurushima.
While
he was right next to her.
With how they're characterized in this episode and then saying that, that makes me think that the writers are at least self-aware. So, you know.
Even if they are, they're not showing it enough.
It's only 7 episodes, though.
If they're self-aware, there's no proof they're saying, like, this is what we're doing. Look at what we're doing. Look how awesome this is. No, it's not awesome. You're doing something terrible. Don't pat yourself on the back about it.
I don't think it's so much as that.
Now, if
that scene doesn't really reveal whether they have a specific plan that's going to be awesome, or if their specific plan is just to make them stupid.
Now, if Star Ninja comes in and Go-On wings everybody...
I'm kind of hoping for.
You know. there'd be some saving it in that. Maybe.
Anyway, the yokai... The yokai watch
40 years of Super Sentai all comes down to Takaharu.
Yeah.
Next week.
Don't phrase it like that. It makes me sad.
Next week, remember that they never destroyed the yokai watch in giant form, so it's back next week. So we can continue that joke. With an actual Fuka episode.
I hope.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Clarinet episode was supposed to be a Fuka episode too, going by the preview.
No, I never thought it was a Fuka episode because it focused
Well, of course not, because this show can't do a Fuka episode because...
No, because the preview focused on him fighting Gabi, so I kind of obviously wasn't, besides her getting captured.
She's just a tool for Takaharu to use.
Apparently so.
They all are.
That's it. No, that's
they are
Japan.
His toys.
Eh.
Oh, by the way, here's something left over from our last show.
Oh boy. Oh my god.
Ah. Excellent. Excellent. The one on the left seems the most accurate.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Like, the other one needs a big hole in the torso to really, like, push the point across. Yeah. Well done.
So, yeah, that was Ninja.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
45 more episodes to go.
Shit.
Oh, well.
Ken, don't sound so happy about it. We're just feeding him, you know.
I miss Dino Charge.
Well, he fed himself the pork rinds and oil.
We've become his bag of pork rinds and oil. What kind of oil goes best with pork rinds?
Sunflower seed oil.
Oh, okay. That's a thing.
Meanwhile, in a haunted house. Whose creaky chair was that?
I think that was Ken.
That was me.
Maybe you need some oil.
Apparently so. Furniture's suffering. You're hogging all the oil.
Damn it!
We'll be right back.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers, you mighty morphing Podcast Rangers. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
Control the gloves and control the battle.
Oh, save the planet.
We'll speed boat that Red Ranger.
Join forces with the Power Rangers with Power Rangers Battle Zone.
I think it's time for some animal power.
You're in the battle and you're in control. You punch, you kick, and your fighter reacts.
Nice shot.
Power Rangers Battle Zone. Be in control. Be a ranger. Be the winner. Power Rangers Battle Zone includes everything you see. Batteries not included.
It's a never-ending cycle of awful.
Just like us.
It's like the Walgreens slogan.
Shit?
No, their slogan now, it's on Walgreens, on the corner of happy and healthy.
Oh.
Which means there's one road that leads to healthiness and one road that leads to happiness, and you have to choose which one you're going to go down.
I think I'd go with happiness.
Then you're not going to be healthy.
No, but I'll be happy. I mean, what's the point of being healthy if I'm miserable for a long time?
Well, that's the wonderful question that Walgreens is thought to pose to all of his customers.
Doesn't really seem that difficult.
Do you want to come in for multivitamins or half-price Easter candy? You choose. We provide.
I got a Cadbury egg stuck in my throat the other day.
Or what about half-price knockoffs of third-party Transformers?
Don't
swallow those
one?
Either. Those are also not healthy.
Was it one of the miniature ones or one of the big ones?
The normal size ones.
They're all miniature ones now.
Right, there is no big ones anymore.
Oh, that explains. I was trying
Cadbury
to ask
cream eggs should not be smaller than testicles.
They shouldn't.
Is that an intro quote?
Sure.
I hope.
Whatever. I'm sorry, I was distracted. I was trying to compare the size of my testicles to Cadbury eggs. Also,
did you have a Cadbury egg handy?
I mean, I know about how big they are.
Testicles are the cream eggs.
Did you make a fist and like go and like, you know, just look down? And
I don't want to make a fist with a Cadbury egg in it. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, at least you won't choke on it, man. Shit.
Yeah, but then it's a big pain to pick the foil out of it. it's like trying to peel garlic.
Did you stick it in your mouth with the foil on it?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, then. So what we learned this week is XB nearly died.
I never said that.
From Cadbury eggs.
You just keep piling in more Cadbury eggs until it clears up.
Right. It's like playing pool. If one of them ends up in a place you don't want it to be, you just throw another one after it until it knocks it away.
Right.
I think that's how shuffleboard works, too. Wait, hang on. I'll ask Don. He's old enough.
Are you seriously asking?
I thought shuffleboard was pretty much table curling.
But you play shuffleboard on the floor.
So regular curling.
Well, it's summer curling, because Canadians have winter curling. Summer curling is done, you know, on cruise liners on the beach.
Is shuffleboard just curling? Like, I sort of understand curling. I've never learned anything about shuffleboard except that it's for the old.
Shuffleboard is like a mixture of curling and hockey. And what was that other game? Rebound.
What?
The board game Rebound.
They should make a version of curling that's like Crossfire.
Would it have the song, too?
Yeah.
Fort Max, sing the Crossfire song.
I don't remember it very well.
Oh, well, then let's go to YouTube.
Crossfire! I don't remember the rest of them.
You'll get caught up in the
Crossfire!
Oh, fantastic. Here it is. God bless the internet.
I was just thinking, like, you know, curling combined with Crossfire would be great because there'd be like these giant cannons on either side of the field shooting out the 40-pound stones.
Well, now we're back to the Cadbury cream egg testicles.
Are we?
Pal didn't see a urologist.
God, I remember this week. I'm like, I feel like this was on every commercial break at one point.
Yeah, it probably was.
On WGN.
Or even Fox Kids.
Well, I know it's going to be this week's intermission.
It's sometime in the future. The ultimate challenge. Crossfire.
Crossfire. You can count on the Crossfire. Crossfire. You can count on the Crossfire. 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 Crossfire.
Crossfire. You'll get caught up in it.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
So yeah, that was a thing.
And now it's time for the good part of the show.
Garo!
We're ending early?
No, better than that. It's Garo, like Ken said. Mickey.
Yo.
Enjoy something.
All right, I watched this a week ago. I hope I remember.
Well, first of all, one thing that I didn't realize going into this, as we see in the intro here, they actually made a new armor for Ryuga.
That's something introduced in the movie, I guess.
Ah, okay.
Probably. And we're not going to get that for months. Hopefully right. There's not too many plot details.
And another odd thing. This series is 24 frames per second. That is new for a Garo TV series.
I thought it looked a little different.
Is that slower or faster than what they usually do?
Slower.
Slower. Okay. They usually run...
Every Garo series previously has been a mix of 30 progressive and 30 interlaced.
Right. So it's kind of...
How do you mix progressive and interlace?
Parts of it are progressive. The parts and the other parts of it, usually action scenes... We're interlaced.
Oh.
Why would they do it like that? Why don't they do it all one?
Because usually progressive gives on better overall image quality, but with interlaced, the faster refresh because of each frame being from two different times gives smoother motion.
Okay, that makes sense.
Garo is a very visual show, so, you know, it kind of makes sense.
Blah, blah, video.
I was about to say something, then I realized, you know, I'm just going to let Fort Max talk because he knows way more about it than anybody else here.
Right. So, anyway.
All right, so, show opens up on top of a rooftop where two Final Fantasy characters are throwing a dude off the balcony.
Or Tsukasa and Japanese Elvira.
And dude inexplicably turns into an awesome-looking horror on the way down.
Yes.
Which I don't really get what's going on there. I mean, was he always a horror? Did he become a horror as he got scared and fell? Or
I think there is probably a degree there where Zynga, the character that Masahiro Inoue is playing...
You're just making up words now.
His name is Zynga. He probably has some way of inciting a horror, it looks like, but we don't know yet how that happens. All we know now is that he threw a dude off a roof and he turned into a horror.
Maybe that was just a horror that was hanging out as a dude and he can sense that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really clear yet.
The important thing is he was commanding a horror, which is not something you see very often.
Yeah, there's something not right about this boy.
No.
So...
It's Masahiro Inoue, and look at how his hair is.
Would you? Yeah, that's true. There's another point I saw made, that this is the 10th anniversary Garo series, and they have Kamen Rider Decade as the antagonist.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's Decade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, this makes sense, because you know how this is a bit different from the main Garo world?
Yeah. Oh god,
it's Garo no Sekai.
Ah.
Oh god almighty.
Suddenly I hate everything.
The Great Destroyers come.
Duos in this?
Oh no, the Destroyer of Worlds. I'm sorry. I got my Destroyers mixed up. Carry on.
Alright, so, Bat Gremlin flies off to the night. And we join up with go to the opening scenes of Dragon Ball Z. of some yokel driving a shitty truck through nature.
That never ends well.
You know, I was really hoping
this is clearly the most day for night shot that's ever been filmed.
And I was really hoping that this scene was going to be a mirror of the start of The One Who Shines in Darkness, and Ryuga was just going to start hitchhiking with him. Because, I mean, why not?
It literally looked like they put the camera inside, like, a black sack and just filmed through it.
What I liked, though, is when the guy gets out of the truck. And you see that the truck is 2 feet tall.
Japan!
Yeah.
That is, I think that is literally the truck from the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, though. Like, the exact thing.
But dude is promptly swallowed up by the Earth and finds Excalibur.
What luck?
Surely he's worthy enough to pull it out.
Yeah, in a Garo series.
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. If you see a sword stuck in a stone in the middle of a creepy forest that's inexplicably dark at noon...
With candles lit around it.
Touch it. Yeah, there's lit candles in this cave. Jesus.
Well, we won't be seeing him again.
Well, of course not. He's an extra in an episode of Garo.
Shit.
So he either becomes a butterfly or a butterfly wanders into the scene to laugh at his disappearance. I don't know.
I like the second interpretation better.
That's probably the first.
So the butterfly wanders off camera and gets eaten by creepy Elvira lady.
Amiya, I think her name is.
I'm not going to learn that.
No.
I'm not even going to try. I don't care. She's Elvira now.
Okay.
I've named her. They might as well start subtitling her name as Elvira for all I care.
Anyway, speaking of characters that we do care about.
Yes, somebody's hungover and hanging out in the streets.
Oh, I find that, like, the best way to be reintroduced to Ryuga. Just, you know, bumming it.
Yeah.
And apparently his costume this year is not even remotely close to wearing something a sane human being would wear on the streets.
He's become a real knight.
Well, let's be fair. What he wore in the first series wasn't much of that either, but it definitely became...
It was closer to being a pass. It was like, hey, that guy's got too much style. Versus, hey, that dude's going to an anime convention.
Yeah.
He does look a little bit more Final Fantasy now.
Zarba looks kind of like a big scab.
Zarba got a little bit of a resign too, but he's still as sleepy as he was in the first series.
Yeah, Zarba got a sleeping mask.
Has he always had that visor thing?
No, that's new.
That's new.
It's his sleep visor.
Yeah. Well, you know, Zarba is getting older.
He is. He needs his shut eye.
Yeah.
You know what this series needs? A conversation between Ryuga and Ganza.
But then they'd have to, like... Yeah, I mean, they'd have to somehow make Ganza exist in this world and have it still make sense.
He's already basically immortal. How hard could that be?
This is true. That would be entertaining, though, just because... Man... I'm not sure how well Ganza would take Ryuga.
Probably not very.
No.
Okay, so Ryuga smells the farty smell of a horror, and Zara was like, yep, you're right, good for you. Remember, horrors are dangerous. Thanks, Zaraba.
I feel like that's like an average conversation between them, though. It's like, yep.
Go back to sleep,
dude. I can't decide if Zaraba's not helpful on purpose, or just because he really doesn't have any help to offer.
Oh, it's on purpose.
It's on purpose because he's helpful to Koga and Raiga, not to Ryuga in the slightest. Yeah. Even after he said he would be, he's not.
Yeah.
It's just like if you're part of the Sajima family, sure. Otherwise, no, screw you.
All right. So elsewhere at the Japanese Great Gatsby's house. Some chick sees Navi from Legend of Zelda telling her to, hey, come this way, which clearly is a good idea. So she follows it off into the darkness and into the most Garo scene imaginable. Like, if you took Garo in the dictionary, it would have a photo of an empty warehouse filled with mannequin parts.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Also, specifically, female mannequin parts.
Yeah, well, yeah, there we go.
Female mannequin parts.
There's no guy mannequins in there.
No.
Okay, now, this scene here, at one point, it's kind of comforting. Like, ah, this is Garo.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this twin that makes me saying, like, this certainly is Garo, all right. You didn't try very hard to come up with something new, did you?
Was anyone else expecting the mannequins to all come to life?
No, well, I was expecting the girl to be turned into one of the mannequins.
Yeah.
Well, it is a first episode also, so it is kind of a establish what we are doing, status quo.
Yeah, I just...
But then again,
remember at the end, constantly just like just shoved it to you.
This is the same time slot as a Garo anime, which is in the same time slot as Mekai Flower.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's not a horror thing. It's just about this whole setup seems a little Garo cliche, and I'm used to the series pushing the envelope and coming up with new things to show me.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, but I think even the first episode of the end was kind of... Of course, for you, it was your first exposure to Garo.
True.
For me, it was kind of like, yeah, that's Garo. And that was important then because it was an entirely new character, which we were not used to, so it had to establish itself that, yes, this is still Garo.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get the same feeling I did from the first episode of the end.
Okay, well, that's helpful in perspective there. So she gets bound up with some energy shit. And look who wanders on screen.
The only useful female in Garo. I wish I was there's Jobby.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's Jobby, I'm sorry.
I mean, even Rekka is half useful.
And Mekai Senki.
Yeah, yeah.
let's make that clear. Not Red Requiem.
And not Red even Requiem. That much in legs.
Sigh.
So, surprise, this little girl is a horror.
And then some. Because there's two.
Two. Yay. Two horrors in one.
Creepy Japanese twins, just like in The Shining. Except they weren't Japanese in The Shining, but they're twins, and they're creepy, just like The Shining. Not
I'm
the
sure
Japanese
there's that remake somewhere.
Because there's no Japanese people in Colorado.
Well,
it's
that's
I
a good point.
Of. Maybe there is, but they didn't introduce themselves to me. So let's just have a really shoddy fight sequence here. That'd be fun. Because this fight sequence is just like they were not trying. There's nothing outright wrong with it, aside from maybe some bad editing. Mm. But it's fairly low energy. The moves aren't terribly exciting. And the matrix shit that she pulls, where she spins on her hips in midair, is not cool. It's just perplexing. Like, huh?
I think the rest of the fight of the episode is better, though.
There's better parts. This fight here is the sloppiest thing I've seen in Garo to date.
I can't disagree.
And that's disappointing. It's not show-breaking. It's just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because let's do
better next time, guys.
Yeah, it is kind of, but you know, I think it eventually at some point, you know, once in a while, franchise can slip up a little bit.
Yeah. You're gonna have a bad day every once. Yeah, I'm not really holding this scene against the series. I'm just stating that this isn't good. This is not Garo. Good.
No, it's
just
like
episode one, and they need a while to find themselves again.
It's like even Mekai no Hana, the direction of fighting is still pretty solid throughout the entire thing there.
But time for Ryuga to show up as he pole vaults into the scene over the railing. like, let's add some style to this shit now.
I do like that too, because it's like, again, you remind us of like, okay, yeah, this is Ryuga. Ryuga does have some sense of style. So did Raiga to a degree, but not to the degree of Ryuga where he's a lot more entertaining about it.
Mm-hmm.
Feels a bit more organic with him somehow, whereas Raiga's just kind of showing off.
Which in its own way is actually kind of weird, you know, on Raiga.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, after Ryuga flips around and, you know, sends him off into a corner to huff and puff, he teams up with his lady friend, and he chops her bullet in half midair and forms a tether that chains them together at the waist. Okay. Doesn't make a lot of sense. That part it's kind of awesome, so I'll go with it. I don't
magic! Gun magic!
Well, what would happen if he didn't slice the bullet in half?
It would have tethered one of them to itself.
That doesn't sound like a terrible useful spell.
They're that
it is. It is if you need, like, a belt.
Look at it like
short notice.
Look at it like this. Look at it like Ryuga and Brianna are that much in sync now. They just ramble like that. Max, I can hear you opening still.
Healthy face.
I can visualize it.
Fort Max, what are you trying to open specifically?
Okay.
What?
What?
Huh?
Huh?
You cut out there.
What are you trying to open so furiously? Trying to use an opportune word.
Pork rinds?
Trying to force Kakadochi back in package.
Oh.
Oh, poor sweet innocent child.
In there.
You don't say.
Oh, while Fort Max fights Kachidoki Arms, the twins run off into the night and run through a crowded street, just tossing people around left and right. And now we're getting to more awesome Garo bits.
Because this is really where it shows.
They're like a trebuchet.
And this is really where it shows the frame rate difference, too. Because the action looks a lot different than it has in previous Garos.
It does look a little... I was wondering what it was, because it's like, it doesn't look like they're doing it any differently, but...
I mean, until the frame rate thing was mentioned tonight, I thought, like, okay, so they're, like, lighting it different or something.
Yeah.
And making it look produced differently. But the frame rate thing makes more sense, honestly.
So, Ryuga catches all the dudes, but he's been stalled appropriately. Mm-hmm.
Now, allegedly, one of the people in the crowd they were running through is Amemiya, the Garo creator.
I'd have to frame through it, but...
Yeah, I haven't confirmed that anywhere yet.
And we get a quick glimpse of Decade and Elvira looming over some dude.
A Makai priest, as they mentioned earlier.
But, cutting back to the twins and Ryuga, they're having... a nicely competent kung fu fight on an awesome-looking staircase.
Uh-huh.
Like, I do love the staircase.
Yeah. And and the other thing I love? Ryuga's freaking sheath.
That's called really? Foreskin.
No. For his sword. God.
Yeah, foreskin.
Oh, shit, go on. You know exactly what I mean.
Yes, he's weaponized his sheath, which, while cool, it doesn't make a great deal of sense, seeing how he's got something sharp inside the sheath already. Why would you want sharp things on the outside of the sheath? I just...
Well, because...
Sometimes you need the barbs to make things work.
You can fight with both the sword and the sheath at the same time, too.
And, yeah, but if you want something sharp, why don't you use your sword?
Koga frequently did that, so, I mean, it's not like it's a new... It's not like it's a new concept in Garo.
Adding things onto it, though, is just like, okay, well.
Well, Ryuga has ideas.
Look, okay, I don't care if it makes sense. It looks cool. Garo in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, no, like you know, him and Rihanna are just sitting around one day, and he's like, you know what would be really awesome?
Okay, that makes sense.
Because they don't have a Barai anymore to tell Ryuga, no, that's stupid. Go stand in the corner.
And they don't have Augury to be boring, or Takara to distract them by being awesome. So, you know, it's just kind of...
It definitely seems like something Blade would have.
It does! Well, you said this was like Japanese Blade, so hell.
Yes.
2 years ago.
Well, you
I can
know.
Never well, tell which Blade you mean.
Well,
the good
blade
one.
Blade one, blade two. The only two blades they made.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he meant.
What else?
No, I'm including all possible blades he might be thinking of.
Yeah, this is also, you know, I'm agreeing.
All right, so the twins are trying to ice skate uphill, and they combine their powers into one to form
Captain Planet. Solid.
They DNA digivolved into a horror.
Yeah. not an exceptionally terrifying horror, but it works.
It's big and
it's
chunky.
Very, it's monkey-like. It bounces.
First episode Monsters Co. Oh, well, it also is significant the fact that it isn't actually original design.
And also, it's a monster
the
suit.
Generic one.
Also, it's a suit, too.
Is it?
Isn't it?
No, well, no. That's CGI, I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a CGI.
Yeah, CGI. But no, that's significant because, you know, Ryuga spent his entire time basically fighting magic horrors, which, besides the main villains, all look the same.
So these are regular horrors and not magic ones.
Yeah, well, that was
so far, anyway.
I'm sure they'll come up with a new gimmick horror for the series in a few episodes.
Or the gimmick.
Anyway, also, while he's fighting this horror and it's flipping about, all of a sudden, Japanese Phoebe Cates wanders into the scene and gets a penis wrapped around her throat. And she's choking pretty heavily. But thankfully, the cavalry arrives and shoots the penis off halfway through, and
wow.
She can take a deep breath and run away. So, Ryuga's got the monster cornered. And they're like, okay, well, you can kill us, but can we eat her first?
it seemed like really oddly insistent, which is like...
Well, I just love that they see the logic of what they're saying. I mean, like, it makes sense to them.
It's like, okay, you're, you know, Garo, you're Golden Knight, you're going to kill us anyway. Can we have a last meal?
Ryu was like, no, you don't quite get the point of what I'm doing here.
Won't beat my sword.
And
I'm not doing this just to kill you. I'm going to prevent you from killing others. That's the point of this. Damn it.
But you can tell in this next minute, they actually gave the show a budget this year.
And they have spent it very well.
Both on Garo's new armor. Specifically, Ryuga now has his own armor.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he actually gets a fight in the armor in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because you'd think that that would be a sign of less budget that they wouldn't animate the fight.
Well,
They spent money to make new suits.
Yeah, for the one that shines in darkness, the transformation was just a finishing move, aside from specific episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and okay, yeah.
They're still not using the timer thing for Ryuga.
They're not! It's probably better that way.
Because Gaara no Sekai.
Maybe the new armor doesn't have that problem.
Also because they pulled some real bullshit with the timer in Makai no Hana, and I just don't want to see it again. Because we talked about this when we talked about the show.
Yeah.
The crap about how they set up the fact that Crow's timer goes down exponentially more when he uses his wings, and then they never touch on it again. Ever. Mm-hmm. Not once in the entire series. And they even have Raiga go berserk. But they...
Uh-huh. I was there, Ken.
So, poor writing?
Makai no Hana is very frustrating because it has some really good episodes, and then it has the rest.
I did like that monster movie episode.
Everybody likes the monster movie episode, because they have to...
Yeah, I like the monster movie episode.
I mean, if we were going to talk about one episode normally of that series, that was the one to do.
That would have been our power playback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we didn't have the context at
that
time.
I think it was that week, actually.
Well, it was power playback with the idea of, hey, let's just talk about this now because Kyoryuger or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know.
Anyway.
You expect me to remember things, and it never really works out.
Yeah. All right, so Ryuga has cleaved the monster in twain.
Which, you know, you'd almost think that would just split him back apart. But evidently not.
Yeah, he should cut him in half like that sideways.
Yes, I was thinking. I was
but then there would just be four of them. like they would revert to human form and be midgets.
Little people.
I wonder if you could find four of them in Japan.
Aren't people in Japan already really short, though? I mean...
And this is Garo. They could just, like, cut someone in half.
Anyway, so he holds his sword up like He-Man and it sucks up all the purple shit. Which I guess is bad feelings or something. I don't know. It's not really quite explained. I assume it's bad stuff, though. But thankfully, there's a dog he can shove it into that'll just wipe all that darkness right off his sword. It seems really handy the city has these darkness cleansing stations throughout it.
That really
I guess it's the public works thing.
Yeah, that had to be a hit on people's taxes.
You see, you can tell they're not in the military state city because that just kind of feels like a Garo thing to just be able to pop something out like that out of the woodwork.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, too, because there's not, like, dudes in khakis and skull face masks running around either.
Right. This is
the Ryuga. Best cops.
Yeah.
This is Ryuga in the actual world.
Yeah. And, you know, to prove that point, he has a watchdog.
Yes. Which we see in a moment. At the very end. But not before Onoda Decayed ruins everything.
All right. So before they wander off into the night, they come at... Sure, a lot of horrors lately. Oh well.
Let's go kill some more!
Probably doesn't mean anything at all. Not the start of a new series or anything, so let's just wander off into the night. Okay, so now let's go to my favorite scene of the episode. The scene that, like, totally redeemed the entire episode for me.
I think I know what you mean.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so... Back in the sort of the Cave of Excalibur,
uh-huh.
Elvira and Decade have brought Christy old Makai Priest here because they want that sword and they can't touch it because they'll die.
As we saw earlier.
But Makai Priest McDumpy here, he can undo the curse and get rid of the trap card on it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he can do it. Or they'll get someone else to do it. But if he does it, they'll let him see his daughter again.
And if he doesn't, then he'll never see her again because she'll be dead. Simple enough.
Yeah.
So he decides, well, if you'll just get it done anyway, I might as well do it. Because I can see my daughter.
Right.
So he betrays his morals and pulls the sword from the stone and then does the curse. The sword splits into two little daggers, one blue and one red.
That's not symbolic or anything.
No, of course.
So, as the red dagger flies off into the night, and the evil guy catches the blue dagger, we've got G.I. Joe color morals going on here, where the villains are using blue and the good guys are using red. For the Transformers, the bad guy would have caught the red dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Star Wars.
Important. Star Wars 2, yes, very good. So, Ryoga and his lady friend, they see the red strike go up the night and go, huh, well, shooting star, let's ignore it.
That's not strange at all.
Now, they're going to go investigate or some shit, I don't know.
Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
Not important.
Not yet, anyway, not till next week.
So, the Makata priest says, you know, I want to see my daughter. And Deckard says, okay, show him his daughter. And I was fully expecting, you know, his daughter to walk out and be a horror or just like them throw a dead body in the ground.
No, we're going to do better than that.
Elvira pulls out a femur. At which point, I started laughing so hard, I almost stood up out of my chair. Because I was not expecting that. It was amazing. It's the biggest middle finger.
And see, I think at that point, that does show that it still has a bit of that from The One Who Shines in Darkness.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, guess what?
It is the most amazing scene in the whole episode.
They're just reminding you which Garo series you're watching.
Creative,
yeah.
And just...
I am so glad to, like, have Masahiro Inoue as the antagonist here. Because he has this... you really notice it here, I think, more than even in the Decade, where he just has this subtle way of looking like the most...
He knows how to do a jackass.
Yeah, he does. Like, even just like this subtle twitch of his lips or his eyes, just he's like, yeah.
He's smug.
Yes, but he does it so well.
Except this time he's supposed to be a smug bastard.
Oh, no, he was supposed to be in Decade also.
I will say, that's Tsukasa in a nutshell.
Like, no, he's smug, though, but he's, like, subtle in being smug. He's not over the top about it. Not really.
Yeah, that's the thing. The subtlety. It's like he's not chewing the scenery, even though he can and he has. But here...
and he still might.
And it's fantastic when he does, but...
The thing is, he knows when to do it, too. So, this is why I always say, the best thing about Kamen Rider Decade is Kamen Rider Decade, not necessarily the show he's in.
Right.
So, speaking of Decade, he sees the Shard of the Dark Crystal.
And also, the symbols that show up on it are the same ones that are falling all over the place in the opening. So, hey, here's our MacGuffin for the series, in case you hadn't noticed yet.
But the second he touches it, Princess Amidala wakes up and realizes that there's something wrong, and we need Ryuga.
Well, yeah.
Can't unsee that now.
The watchdogs are special.
Ryuga, please, I beg of you, we need your help. My people
are
dying.
She acts a lot better than all of us.
She's got a horrible vision of Jar Jar Binks in the Garoverse.
He would not survive very long. They would think he's a horror, and then they would kill him.
To be fair, he probably would be a horror.
He would be.
Yeah.
Not a very good one. I'm imagining like SIC Jar Jar Binks now.
Jesus.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, right?
For one thing, he wouldn't be bipedal anymore. He would be some kind of weird like dog amphibian thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the ending theme is, well...
Garo Idols.
Yeah.
That's different.
Very. Hi, Rekka.
Okay, so we got Karate Wedding Dress.
That's Rekka.
We've got Oktoberfest Girl.
Yes.
S&M Slut. Oni Harley Quinn.
Two of these actresses are from this series. One is from the anime, and the other is Rekka from Red Requiem and Makai Senki.
And, like, the movie.
Yes.
This theme song, the ending theme is a lot better than one for the end, though. Because that song was terrible.
It was.
I remember nothing about the music from that series.
The only thing I remember about
the
music...
Jam Project song, though.
Yeah, I remember that pissed
and the main theme.
Off. Yeah, I remember that pissed me off because they didn't change the visuals at all. And it didn't really sync up very well.
Yeah, it did not match the song at all. The song
and
awesome.
I'm expecting the same thing to happen this time, too.
They've actually given the show a budget. I think it might actually change this time. But also, one thing, the extended trailer for the movie at the end, the movie looks actually really freaking awesome.
And, you know, in a year we'll see it.
I know. Well, look on the bright side, we'll have more Ryuga after the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be good.
And also a Pat Labor movie.
I wish somebody would sub the live action Pat Labor stuff.
Because it's like a bunch.
Yeah, this actually looks good.
It's like a bunch of shorts, and then is it now a movie? I think.
It started with a movie, and then with shorts, and another movie.
Oh, okay.
Pulling up that building from Digimon Tamers.
Go ask Mega Anon if anybody would be able to tell you. It'd be him.
Okay. But yeah, what little bit and pieces I've seen of Next Generation Pat Labor, it looks. Good.
Looks good.
It looks more interesting than the anime.
I've always liked the concept, but it's just not the execution.
Yeah, it was boring.
Yeah.
I mean, this probably is too. It just looks interesting because they're doing it in live action.
Well, if you want to watch live action mecha that has been translated, there's always Gunhead.
Gunhead.
You haven't seen Gunhead?
I have not.
Oh, it's about a giant mecha, and some of the world's looking for this rare element called Tex-Mexium.
are you fucking serious? serious?
Yes, I am.
Tex-Mexium.
Tex-Mexium.
Yummy.
The spiciest element, I assume. I don't know.
Fajitas.
I'm renting on VHS from Blockbuster in the 90s.
Oh, that is a building from Digimon Tamers.
It has a name. I can never remember what it is, though. I always
the
look
government
it up
building?
Get it promptly.
The Tokyo Metropolitan Government Building.
Yeah, that's it.
It sticks out to me because I remember the episode where that blew up aired in Japan like 3 days after September 11th.
Oops. Snap.
Needless to say, that was edited in the dub.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess.
So yeah, the first golden shower is kind of messy.
Oh.
You've been saving that for weeks, haven't you?
Don't applaud that. Don't applaud
well,
that.
No, I'll give it to him, but that's good.
It was kind of like sarcastic applause anyway, you know, the thing where you stand
but
there
it's appropriate,
completely.
Because the first episode was sloppy.
Well, and like, yeah.
It needs
my,
a little mopping up.
My worry is that, shut your face. My worry is...
And now all is right with the world.
My worry is that this series is not going to find a hook the same way the Enda did, and it's going to just be, you know, the normal world of Garo, but here's Ryuga instead of Koga or Raiga.
Honestly, I wouldn't complain with that because Ryuga's more interesting than Raiga.
I like him better than any of the other Makai Knights I've seen.
But the reason the reason I liked it more than any other Garo series was because it was so different.
Well, there and is that, but I mean, Ryuga and Rian's character it is enough to stand on its own, I think, too.
Maybe, but I think
I think the large supporting cast is kind of what really helped the end, though. There's a lot going on.
There was a large supporting cast and like a really cohesive overall storyline.
Right.
Which, you know, stuff gets pulled together at the end, but you can't really say that the main series ever have that much of an overarching story. We've never been able to make a normal Garo series work as a weekly here because of what they are. And if this does that but with these characters, it's not going to work out well.
Well, I mean, we only tried with Makai no Hana, to be fair, after that, because we never tried with Makai Senki.
Because nobody was interested in that.
Exactly. But no, I mean, they seem to be starting with it. Already starting with a overarching plot line. It's not just a
Like you said,
even though all of Ryuga's stuff in this episode is monster of the week stuff, Zynga on the other hand is a different story.
You know, I want this to establish its uniqueness like the Enda did. You know, to live up to being in this Garo universe.
Regardless of how it turns out in terms of quality, I would think that since they're directly doing a sequel to the Enda, they're going to generally mimic the story style of that, of having an overall plot arc from beginning to end.
I hope so.
I just hope that having less characters is going to work out for them.
I kind of hope they, you know, add some extra characters as it goes in a few episodes.
Of course, on the other hand, though, we've got now a compelling villain lead from the very first episode.
The thing is,
the Enda lacked for quite a while.
The thing is, like, I was a little disappointed that Masahiro ended up being the villain character, because just imagine him as a Makai Knight.
On the other hand, how he's executed, I can't say
I'm complaining
about him
merit.
Being the antagonist either.
There's equal merit to both uses of him.
Yeah. We are used to seeing him as the hero, too, so it is interesting to see the opposite.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, Tsukasa versus Ryuga, but they're on the same side. You could make something of that really easily. And, you know, just before we started tonight, episode 2 came out subbed.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hooray.
Is Decade's hair different in it?
I don't know. I only saw the preview picture, which did not have Decade in it. Decade in his magenta hair.
Lightish pink. Lightish red.
Yeah, whatever. Besides, it's not real magenta hair until it just, like, you know, vanishes off the face of the internet.
I'm just waiting for it to glow.
Cold.
Not necessarily cold. It's an actual expectation.
Not you, XP.
you know, Magenta. Remember him? Remember why we're not getting Gaim anymore? Ken's completely lost.
Because it ended?
Ken's completely lost.
Yeah. I'm completely lost.
What else is new?
Maybe he wasn't here that week.
Maybe. He was absent for a while. I kind of tend to forget about that.
You're out of your element, Ken.
Ken, it's like I can't even tell you were gone.
Gee, thanks.
Because whether you're here or not, we just talk so much shit about you, it kind of, you know, fills the gap either way.
Christ.
So, I think that's our show for this week.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Next week, we only have one episode of Ninja.
Hooray.
And at least it's only one.
Yay.
That's slightly better.
And and the week after that, it'll finally be Star Ninja's debut, so...
Yeah.
Maybe there will be something to look up to. But probably not. I'm anticipating disappointment.
I'll go in with it.
And that's how you know it's superhero
time. I swear to God.
Well, the show's basically over. Come on.
He's got toys to play with.
Or put away, apparently.
Yeah.
I guess Fort Max was playing with them earlier. Which now I kind of regret saying because that sounds awful.
I just imagine Fort Max with an arm change figure in each hand just bashing them together.
With the happiest look.
Oh my god.
Now, Takatora, you will marry Princess Vespa.
No, I don't want to!
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
You broke him again.
That one's your fault.
But Fort Max likes him broken.
I know.
Oh, wait. He sounds so dejected when I say that.
Hey, we went through a whole episode without the Ken noise.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, that's the one.
That one noise of Ken's.
Almost like I was purposely avoiding it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You felt the urge, but you held back?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you would notice, and you did.
I didn't, Mickey's paying more attention than I am.
Well, that's par for the course.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm paying a lot more attention, really. Though, but I'm not, you know, lit.
Yeah, the problem is you're so much more sedate.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because, you know, drinking is a sedative.
Yeah.
I know, but
I come alive with it.
But it loosens you up.
Yeah.
I thought it. I didn't say anything, but luckily, you know.
I know. Instead of alcohol, I could just do poppers on the show.
Mickey does not disappoint.
We can see if Kilby can get you some of the Hemo Rage we're trying to get him to start taking for the show.
Hemo Rage is like a blood thinner or something.
It's some kind of, like, energy supplement thing. Mostly caffeine and shit.
That sounds dangerous. Whatever it is.
Hemo Rage.
Anything with the name Rage in it, I don't want to put in my body.
Rage?
Not hemorrhage, Google.
Also, yeah, it sounds a lot like that.
I
was wondering if your pronunciation was off or something.
You know, that's probably where they got the name from, now that I think about it.
Oh, that's encouraging. Yeah, I'll take some.
Okay, so the first Google result for Hemo Rage is a website that has a big message at the top, "We no longer carry this product."
Oh, so you know it's good.
I guess so.
Sure.
Let's go to Amazon.
Underground pre-workout detonator.
Detonator?
What?
Shit, are you looking at?
Hemo rage. Hang on, hang on. Skype chat.
Caution due to extreme potency.
Oh dear.
It may be way too intense for some individuals.
Ultra concentrate. Sucker punch. Oh, it's in blood too. That's nice. That's encouraging. Let's see. Extreme caution advised. Hemorrhage. Black ultra concentrate. May be stronger than any pre-workout product you have ever tried. Its effects may be way too intense for some individuals. Hemorrhage. Black ultra concentrate. Because they emphasize the black.
Okay, so that one on Amazon, the flavor is sucker punch. I just found another one, which is the best
okay,
ever.
Okay, we have news.
All you need is one single drop.
No. Wait, Fort Max. I found the best flavor of Hemo Rage. Orange cremation.
Oh, my God. And hey, that was for Mickey.
All right, anyway, I should probably take off.
Okay.
The Hemo Rage thing will be good post-show material.
Oh, God. No weight is too heavy. No training too intense. No pump has ever felt like this.
Oh, well, you don't say.
I'm just reading from the package, man. Get ready to pull out all the stops. Not to be used by anyone under the age of 18.
Do not use if pregnant or nursing. Never exceed the recommended maximum dosage.
Of one drop.
This product contains caffeine, you don't say. Do not use this product for longer than 8 weeks, and make sure that usage is followed by a 2-week off period.
For dose?
Take this and wait 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. If you have any... consult your physician prior to use if you have a medical condition, including but not limited to heart, liver, kidney, or thyroid disease... psychiatric disorders, difficulty urinating, diabetes, high blood pressure, anemia, cardiac, I can't even say that word.
Arrhythmia.
It's late. And starting to get the words that I just don't even want to try and say. Headaches, a large prostate, or glaucoma.
Glaucoma.
Glaucoma. May cause flushing or itch and itching. May cause flushing and itching.
Discontinue use 2 weeks prior to surgery.
Immediately discontinue if you experience rapid heartbeat. Well, with all that caffeine, I'd expect so. Dizziness, severe headaches, or shortness of breath. Store out of sunlight in a cool, dry place. The product contains ingredients that may be banned by some sports organizations. Oh, really? As individuals vary, so may results. As individuals vary, so may results from using this product. Oh, shit.
And finally, keep out of reach of children.
It's not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. No shit.
Well, no supplements are.
Okay. Yes. Wow.
Vitamins aren't.
Is this thing actually in here?
What?
Oh, okay. So
black ultra concentrate may be stronger than anybody.
Okay, so on the supplement facts tab here, you know, it's the ingredients list. So the first ingredient is Hemorrhage Black Ultra Concentrate proprietary blend. 5,690 milligrams of that. Everything else on here is zero. They're sidestepping declaring what's in it by calling it a proprietary blend.
This is why I don't need supplements.
Yeah. Oh, other ingredients. Citric acid.
Natural and artificial flavors.
Yeah. What's the natural flavor of Hemo Rage?
Buy some and find out.
Sucker punch. Allergen warning manufactured on equipment that processes products containing milk, egg, soybean, shellfish, wheat, and tree nuts. Jesus Christ.
And yes, we are actively encouraging Kilby to buy this and use it before the show.
So you're trying to kill Kilby. Got it.
Everybody needs a hobby.
Lunatic Lemonade.
Superhero Men! Let's do it again!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.